Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
I want to let the audience know, you know, Scav and I, we've worked together. We share information back and forth.
I run Scout as my service dog. He's a hearing dog, PTSD dog.
We're here to bring you news, interviews, and information about service dogs and about matters that are of interest to the service dog community.
Thank you for joining us on the Service Dog Show on DV Radio, WDVR.
And welcome to the Service Dog Show. I am your host, Joaquin Watai, author of the book PTS Dog, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, and the Service Dog. And I am introducing my co-host, Scav, from the Scav and Scout Chronicles. Scav, how are you?
I'm doing great, brother. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm glad to have you here. Brought Scav on board to help breathe a little life into the show. Started to feel like I was in an echo chamber, just repeating the same stuff over and over. And thought that, you know what, maybe getting a little extra perspective would help bring life back into the show. Scav, tell the audience a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, I work in a wholesaler as an IT guy, so I got a little bit of computer background, mobile phone background, but I'm a Army combat engineer, Desert Storm, Panama, all that jazz. I run Scout as my service dog. He's a hearing dog, PTSD dog, and he's still working as a blood sniffer. So that's a little tough one for me, but he's getting it. Mm-hmm. Pretty much where I'm at.
Yeah, explain that. Explain blood sniffer for the audience so they understand what you're talking about.
Thanks to sarin gas, I have no feeling in my right leg from the knee down, and I walk into things and I don't know that I've done it, so it looks pretty much like I've put my right leg through a cheese grater. And so I've pulled screwdrivers out of my leg. It's pretty messed up, but Scout's been trained to alert me that I'm bleeding. And what we're working on now is not to hit me so hard in other parts of my body with his nose.
So, so he's very enthusiastic about providing the alert, apparently.
Correct. But when you get a dead leg, he mm-hmm. needs to be able to alert me that, hey, you're bleeding.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in a dead leg, you can't feel it. So he's trying to hit me hard enough to say, hey, yeah, hey dude, you're bleeding. But you know, in other parts of the body, you can feel it's not so pleasant.
Right. Right. So if he knocks you over, then, you know, what are you going to do? You're
right.
Laying on the floor at that point.
Yeah. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, talk to the audience a little bit about your page.
Well, we started close to the same time you probably brought PTS Dog on board. Matter of fact, I talked to you about finding a hearing dog or a place to train hearing dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted to do was bring life to service dogs and veteran suicide.
Yeah.
Both are big in my heart. But back then there was nothing out there for service dogs at all. You could find no information on service dogs. There was just coming to light, like 22 Kill was just coming on board and some of the other guys for vet suicides.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured why not jump out there and get something going. And so we started the Scav and Scout Chronicles, and you know, we put some jokes out there and some of Scout's annex and my annex, and we network with a lot of other pages such as you and the other guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's, you know, like you said, there was nothing out there. There was no information out there. So, you know, you kind of took the same route I did. Well, since nobody else is doing it, might as well. And
right. It was just it was a vast void. I mean, there was absolutely no information. We just kind of had to make this up as we went.
Yep.
You know, we had the ADA, and even back then it was just, you know, they really didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, now, you know, I want to let the audience know, you know, Scav and I, we've worked together. We share information back and forth, coordinate stuff if it needs to be done, reach out for veterans. We've worked together the whole time, you know, for 3 years. I mean, we've always supported each other mutually. One of the things, the experience I think that you can bring to the show is that you are in fact employable out there working. And so you have that experience of dealing with Title I of the ADA and reasonable accommodation for employment. And I think that's going to be helpful for guests and for if people have questions about it. In fact, I can almost guarantee that we are going to have a show about employment in the very near future. And so I want the audience to know that we're going to lean heavy on you for that one, Scav. And then I have one of my admins, DV Nightmare, just went through the reasonable accommodation process with the U.S. Postal Service of all places. Yeah.
Ouch.
Let me tell you, they gave him they didn't use lube, but he won and he got accommodation. So I think that's information that we need to get out there.
Right.
Because there are people who are getting to the point where they want to be able to return to the workforce.
Well, yeah, we just talked about that it was a couple of weeks back when you reached out to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went straight to my HR guy. Him and I talked quite often, not always off on the good foot, but, and, you know, we got a good relationship, he and I, and it was like, hey, I need some information. This is what it's about. He's actually got a service dog file, which is good. And I'm constantly sending him information. Anytime there's a new article or the ADA update something, I push it through to him through an email and he puts it in a folder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if something changes, he needs to know.
Absolutely. You know, that
my company's covering their ass as well as mine.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I think one of the things that people need to understand about Title I and about reasonable accommodation is not only are companies responsible for accommodating disabled employees, but they're responsible for accommodating everyone, like because of their religion or because of their ethnicity. Or, I mean, they have to try to make it equally accessible for everyone, not just the guy with the service dog. And right. That leads to some misunderstandings.
Right. Title I's really, it's really tricky. And I just dabble in it because, you know, of Scout. You know, I couldn't imagine a HR guy. He's really been over that desk when it comes to all these employees coming at him from different directions. It's got to be a horrible experience. And if you're not up to date on it,
you know, yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, that's a future piece of information, future show we're going to do. We're definitely going to come. We're definitely going to bring some experience to the table and talk about reasonable accommodation. That's a subject that I see cross my stream frequently, both in the PTS Dog page and just on Facebook. You know, I follow a lot of the same groups you do and I think you follow a few groups I don't follow or might have been kicked out of because, you know, I dared actually state the law instead of my feelings and, you know.
Well, right. You know, and you've seen a couple of my alternate accounts because I tend to run my mouth a little bit too much. And
yeah,
I'll hit you up with, hey, I'm on this account today.
Ah, perfect example. We won't name the person or the group, but there was a veteran that posted in a PTSD service dog support group that was not either of our groups. fussing about being forced to stand in line with the other parents with his service dog to wait to pick up his child from preschool.
Yeah.
And I'm crowded. And the other day a kid tripped and almost fell on my dog. And I had the audacity to go, wait a minute, I'm confused. You're complaining because you're being treated exactly equal to everybody else?
Yeah.
That's exactly what he was doing.
You know, and that's what we strive to get to. We all want to be treated as equals. I don't know what I would do if I got special treatment.
Yeah. Well, but that's just it. The ADA does not protect your right to extra treatment or special treatment, or you're not entitled to a damn thing.
Right.
The ADA protects your right to be treated equally. And of course, you know, that created butthurt, and he popped back with, well, you're making a negative comment. And I said, it wasn't negative. I didn't say anything disparaging. What I didn't say was, I didn't call you a fucking vet flake, you know?
Right. And you know my background. My wife and kids they're Catholic. I'm not. Mm-hmm. We don't get into the religious debate. But my kids have always gone to a private school, you know, Catholic schools. And when you go up there, the church sits on the same grounds as the school, but they're separate. There's no wall attaching them. If I would take Scout to the church, I would have to get permission from the priest. And every new priest that come in, I'd have to go and ask special permission to bring Scout to church. But the school's a separate entity. It's covered by the ADA. So the principal and I would get into some debates on occasion. But when I'd go to get my daughter, we'd have to stand in those damn lines. But I would handle my dog.
Yeah. So
sit on my feet, and I would make sure that he was out of the way. Kids love dogs. There's no, you know, buts about it. There's going to be issues with kids and dogs.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So, but you said a key word, though. You said, I handle my dog.
Right.
Which was exactly what my thought is. Dude, just handle your dog.
And if it got too overwhelming, Alyssa knew my backup plan.
Yeah. I
would take my ass out of the picture, and I'd be over on the side somewhere, and she would know where to find me. I'd raise my hand to teach her to know where I was, and, you know, she would release my daughter to me, and we'd go over to the truck and call it done.
And that's exactly, and something I had missed was, yes, the facility is in a church. So by law, they don't fall under the ADA. The churches, religious institutions are exempt from the ADA. But that wasn't the point. The point was, this guy was whining. There's no other way to put it, and I'm being kind. He was whining because he was being treated equal. And, you know, service dog handlers, we're not asking for special treatment, just equal treatement. If being treated equal is your problem, dude, suck it up.
Being a service dog handler is one of the biggest pains in the ass you'll ever do in your life. Straight up.
Yep.
If you want to be a service dog handler, great, but get ready to take it. You're going to get it from all sides.
Absolutely. All the time. There's no break.
It is not easy.
Yep.
It'll make you the better man or better woman you've ever been.
Yep. Yep. Ever been accused of loving Scout more than your spouse?
Oh, absolutely.
That was a great argument. Turned out to be true in my case, but that's another story. We won't go there.
There's some jealousy, and I've got to make it a point to take my wife out without Scout.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, everywhere we go, there's Scout. You know, if there's a family photo, there's Scout. Yeah, he is my wingman. I don't go anywhere without him.
Well, it's good. And what, you know, what I explained, see, I'm lucky. Nevermore is also a veteran, and she also suffers PTSD, survives, I should say, with PTSD. And Skeeter, of his own accord, has decided that he will work for her when possible. When I'm okay and she needs him, he helps her. So Skeeter solved the issue. you know, by himself. He was like, oh, you're cool. I like you. I love you. I'll take care of you too, you know? And I couldn't be more grateful.
That's fantastic. Well, I just put that post up the other day when I think it was maybe Saturday or Sunday when my wife had that migraine and that was babying her. And he kept looking at me like, is this okay, Dad?
Like, yeah. Oh, that's just it. Skeeter looks at me like, you good? And I'm like, go. You know, or nope, I need you, buddy. And we had, you know, we had an experience recently where we both were having issues and he had to work for me. And I felt bad, but at the same time, one of us needed to keep our shit together.
Yeah. You know where your priorities lie. You're my dog. If I'm having.
Well, and he does. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, he's my dog no matter what.
But, it's, you know, I think it was last year, a year before when I went to my buddy's son's funeral. His 23-year-old son died in a motorcycle accident down south. And we walked into the funeral home and I went up to shake his hand and Scout sat right on his foot and pushed hard against his leg.
Uh-huh.
And the guy just looked down and was like, immediately reached down and started petting Scout.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. What happens?
You're right. And the guy's like, holy shit. You know, he automatically, he's forgetting about the funeral. He's forgetting about his son. He's just petting a dog.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm like, do what you got to do there, Scout.
Yep. And that's, you know, Skeeter, I always joke about that, especially Walmart. If there's a veteran, if there's another veteran in Walmart, Skeeter will find him.
Right.
Skeeter, we somehow, some way, will make sure that we cross paths with another veteran. Now, I'm still trying to figure out how he manages it because I always manage to fill the cart with what I need. But at the same time, Skeeter's on, you know, Skeeter knows there's another veteran in there somehow. I don't know if he smells him or what. I don't know what it is. Yeah, he knows.
Do we all smell a certain, you know,
salty. We all smell salty. Right.
We got an aroma of piss about us. And
We smell like whiskey, coffee.
Yeah, yeah. Bacon.
Bacon. Murka. Oh, yep. That's, you know, hey, honestly, I can't complain. I can't complain when Skeeter leads me to a Korean War veteran, you know?
No.
Or a Vietnam veteran, and I get to shake his hand and say, hi, you know, hey, hi, how you doing? And introduce myself, talk to him a little. Of course, Skeeter's always the subject of conversation because, well, he's Skeeter, you know.
Right. Yeah, but some of the best conversations I've had are because of this dog.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what, though? That's a way that a service dog helps with PTSD. Because guess what? Before you had your dog, I'm sure you were just like me, totally isolated.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't talk to anybody.
Nope. There for a while, I wasn't leaving the house, the property. I still don't go to concerts or in the big crowds and, you know.
Yeah. And
like that.
But yeah. Yeah.
It's getting to the point where, you know, I go to Walmart with the wife on occasion now and I go to the stores and stuff. But there for a while, like I said, I wasn't leaving my property. You know, I'd go out back and garden. I'd go hunting by myself and stuff like that.
There's nothing wrong with going hunting by yourself.
Yeah, but I wasn't doing nothing at all.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, you weren't living.
No.
You weren't living. And then bring in this dog, and guess what? First of all, you have to go outside with your dog. You got to take a potty.
And then when they told me, you know, talk to Bart Sherwood and, you know, we're going to Tad Saw training. And of course my trainer's up in Pittsburgh and I'm like, Pittsburgh. And then she takes me to a damn mall in Pittsburgh. And, you know, not only is the dog overwhelmed, but I'm overwhelmed. I'm like, if you have ever been to a mall in Pittsburgh, holy crap. You know, cause I live in a small town in West Virginia. So you go to a mall in Pittsburgh, it's like being in New York City. Yeah. I was not ready for this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got to drive up there every week. And for a while I thought about quitting because I just didn't want to face the crowds, but that's part of the Tad Saw training.
You know? That's part of training. It's part of learning to handle your dog. It's part of returning to the world
right
with your dog at your side.
And then when my daughter was going with me and I brought her up as a secondary handler, and she's like, no, Dad, you're going, you know, we got to do this. So she was a big help with that. And it was like, shit, you can't puss out in front of your daughter.
Yeah, she challenged you to be better.
Right.
So, you know, challenged you to heal.
So,
yeah. And that, it is work.
When you train like that with a dog, and I agree with you, you know, you train with your dog, it makes you a better dog team.
Absolutely.
Instead of just getting an off the shelf dog.
Well, and that's, I mean, you know, the off the shelf dogs, cookie cutter dogs, third party trained dogs, whatever you want to call them. Guess what? The way the law reads, the case could be made because the law says that dog must be individually trained to perform tasks for a disabled individual. The case could be made that a dog trained by somebody else does not actually fulfill that requirement of the law.
Yeah, if they wanted to get nitpicky and you get a good lawyer.
I mean, think about it. The case could be made that a third party training a dog for a disabled individual is incapable of training the dog to perform individual tasks tailored specifically to that person, especially when we're talking about psychological service dogs or medical alert service dogs that respond to specific cues from their handler. Well, if the handler's not there to teach the dog the cues, how do they do that?
Right. I've often wondered that. Now, I'm not bashing any of those companies and organizations. I think they all do a wonderful thing for the vets. But, you know, I spent so much time with Scout. You know, I got him from a shelter when he was young. Mm-hmm. I ran him through the obedience training myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I ran him through TADSAW. We spent so much time, almost a year, or a little over a year with TADSAW.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I did the hearing training. I'm still working with the blood training. That's been 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And so wait, are you saying that training never ends?
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. So, you know, if I get a cookie cutter dog or an off the shelf dog, somebody else is just take, for example, Scout. If I got another Scout and somebody's trained him to do the PTSD, the hearing, and the blood, I've not bonded with that dog at all.
Right.
You know, they're just bringing it to me and, okay, I'm going to spend a couple of weeks, maybe a month with this dog. I've had no bonding time. I've not trained with this dog and we're taking it home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know this dog.
That dog doesn't know you.
Right. It doesn't know my commands per se. You know, I know its commands.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't wrap my brain around that where, you know, Scout knows my hand signals. When we go to church with my wife and my daughter, mm-hmm. I don't speak to my dog. I use hand signals and that dog knows I'm dead serious. If I hold my hand out, your ass better lay down. And then he lays down and he's silent. He doesn't do anything. If I need him to sit up, he sits up. When it's time they go, another hand signal and we're gone. And then, you know, he gets all kinds of high praise and treats when we get out to the Jeep.
Yeah. 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 And it's just, you know, and that's, and again, there is a place for off the shelf dogs, cookie cutter dogs, third party trained dogs, whatever you want to call them. There is a place for them. Certainly. But when you're talking about specific medical alerts, hearing alerts, you know, every individual is different. Their symptomology is individual to them.
Right.
And you can't, there's no, I don't know, what do you want to call it? There's no template that fits everybody. It doesn't exist. You know, there are some things that the law requires that are universal, like that the dog's behaving. But how do you get a dog to behave in public?
Right.
Train.
You know, it's just
train.
My next service dog. What happens when I retire Scout? The next one's not going to be Scout. It's going to be a completely different dog.
Well, yeah, whatever his name is.
And he's not going to act like Scout. He's not going to react like Scout. So I'm going to have to train him to do what I need him to do.
Yep.
And I've got to go into that knowing that it's not Scout.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But hopefully, you know, Scout will train him to, hey, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. I wish, well, Skeeter doesn't like Freya, so Skeeter's not Skeeter's not training Freya, per se. Freya tries to emulate Skeeter, but he treats her like the, you know, the kid sister that he has to tolerate. And it's hilarious. It is quite funny. I'm hoping, because Skeeter's going to be 9 in January, I'm hoping that I can find a successor. I, based on my experience I've already had, I'm leaning more towards starting with a pup again because of creating the bond. I'm not opposed to rescuing, but the, you know, in my experience, the younger the dog, the better, in regards to creating the bond. Potty training creates a bond, folks.
It's
basic, and it doesn't seem like you're doing a whole lot, but what you're doing is building a foundation. Potty training absolutely creates a bond. I'm hoping that Skeeter will accept the successor, because I can't ever replace Skeeter, but he will have to have a successor. And I'm hoping that he will pass on some of his skills. But at the same time, Skeeter's a big jerk. You know, Skeeter's stubborn. Skeeter does things his way because I trained him to, because I needed a stubborn dog when I first started out. Now although I do need a dog that has independence and has strength to stand up to me when I'm at my worst, I don't get to my worst as often.
Right.
So, you know, I don't need a dog that's going to be as stubborn necessarily. But you know what? My back's not getting any better either. So I do need a dog that's going to be able to do things like, you know, pick stuff up for me.
And I'm glad you said that, because you'll notice that as time goes on, you're not really ever going to be healed, but you'll notice you don't depend on that dog for certain things as much as you did when you first got it.
Yeah. But at the same time, I've had to not take him to a couple of times, and it was hell.
Right.
It's not that I don't need him. It's that I need him differently.
Right. And it
has changed. That has evolved.
You're going to need him for something completely different. Like you said, you're back. You may not need him as much for one thing, but you'll need him for something else.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're changing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the whole point. That's the whole goal, is healing.
Right.
You know, the whole reason we handle the service dog is because we want to heal. And so I can't complain that you know, I know that I will need another dog, but I know that I'm going to use that dog in a little bit differently. I'll tell you one thing that's never going to change is I'm going to teach that dog to block for me. I'm going to teach that dog to provide a physical buffer between me and other people, because crowds, that's not going away.
No,
it's,
you know,
never
that's
going to go away.
That's the most comforting thing in the world,
having that dog at your six. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Watching your back.
And every time I get in a line at our grocer and that dog's behind me, I don't have to worry about somebody getting up behind me.
Yep. Absolutely. We are going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog and Scav. That's right. Joined by Scav of the Scav and Scout Chronicles. And there are some changes. There's a Service Dog Show is changing a little bit. We'll talk about that after the break. You're listening to us on DV Radio, WDVR. And we are grateful to DV Radio for the support. Check out other podcasts and other shows on DV Radio, such as the flagship program, if you will, Barracks Talk, which airs Saturday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to them again at dvradio.net or by streaming on the Live 365 app. We'll be right back after this break.
DV Radio.
Are you looking for veteran resources and peer support? Objective Zero has an app for that. Download the Objective Zero app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Access wellness resources like yoga and a free year subscription to Headspace, the world's most popular meditation app. Check out veterans resources and access our nationwide network of peer support. Speak to fellow women veterans or someone in your field and branch of service. You get to choose who you want to chat with. Learn more at www.objectivezero.org. That's www.objectivezero.org.
Ever shop online at smile.amazon.com? Why not give back to the DV Farm by making it your charity of choice? No extra fees or hidden costs, and a portion of your purchase goes directly towards the DV Farm, located in Gilsum, New Hampshire, and helping to continue its mission. That's smile.amazon.com, and be sure DV Farm is your charity of choice. For more information about the DV Farm, please go to dvfarm.org.
You could listen to one of those other stations, but what would your friends think?
Shooters Express is Charlotte's number one destination for all personal defense, sport, instruction, and recreational shooting supplies. They offer concealed carry classes for only $29.95. That's only $29.95 for concealed carry classes. And if you're military or law enforcement, you'll receive great deals and be eligible for even more at Shooters Express. So head over to Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina, or visit shootersexpress.com for more information and monthly deals. That's Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina.
This is not a paid endorsement from Shooters Express and is provided solely by DV Radio free of charge.
We're back on the air.
DV Radio.
And welcome back to the Service Dog Show. I am your host, Joaquin Watai, author of the book PTS Dog, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder and the Service Dog. With me is my co-host, Scav, of the Scav and Scout Chronicles. We were talking before the break about the goal of having a service dog being healing. And I think that's an important point. And I think that's something that a lot of people forget. Now, of course, there are service dogs for conditions that don't get better. We're talking primarily about PTSD service dogs here. So don't get us wrong. You know, having a seeing eye dog isn't going to bring your sight back. But we definitely, I think, are in agreement that when it comes to a psychological service dog, although you may never recover fully, especially with PTSD, the whole point and the whole goal is to make progress in some form or fashion, returning to being able to go do things like shop, being able to go back out and get a job, being able to hold a job. Scav, how long have you managed to, did you have trouble holding jobs before Scout? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Inside that company, I've been with Sledge now for almost 18 years, I think. Inside there, I was basically hopping jobs. I started out in like inventory control, and then I moved into their candy section, and then I moved into like the loading docks, and then so pretty much I was moving around inside the company. But previously to that, I was not able to hold on to a job at all. I worked under the table quite a bit, worked security for a while. Hell, I detailed cars, actually broke into cars for a car dealership for a little while, and, you know, just couldn't take, you know, take authority at all.
Yeah.
Somebody tell me to do something, you know, you eat shit is pretty much how it went.
Yeah.
But, you know, the good thing is I was married to my wife when I landed this job, and she was pretty much the one keeping me in control. And when I got Scout, between the two of them, they pretty much tamed the beast, I'd say.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for my wife, I probably would be in a lot of trouble.
Well, you know, we can't... certainly can't downplay the assistance that she's given you or Scout. You know, I think the family cooperation in getting a service dog for a veteran. If the veteran has a family, enlisting their cooperation, I think helps build and strengthen the entire family.
Yeah.
You had your daughter go to training with you and learn to be Scout's alternate handler.
Right.
I mean, how did that improve your relationship with your daughter?
Yeah, it's the whole thing, man. You know, when we discussed the service dog, I told them all it's going to be a life-changing event for the entire household.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have this dog that's not going to be a pet per se.
Right. You know,
when we're out in public, there's not going to be any attention given to this dog by us. You know, it's
other than handling him.
Correct. It's going to be a nightmare for us. And, you know, I put it all out there from the get-go. Mm-hmm. This dog's going to be with us 24/7. We're going to have issues at hotels. We're going to have issues when we go to stores. Are you guys ready for it? I'm not going to get one if you guys are not ready to do this.
Uh-huh.
And I made them think about it, and they were like, okay. So once I was sure they were all good with it, then, you know, we decided, and we all went together and picked, you know, picked the dog out. Well, actually Scout picked me out. And then, the discussion between me and my wife about my daughter, Alyssa, being a secondary handler, not only was it good for me, but it was good for her.
Mm-hmm.
I turned 50 this month, and you know,
you're an old fucker.
Right, pretty much. But I told my wife, I said, if something happens to me, somebody's going to be able to take care of this dog. It's not fair to him. You know, he's used to going out every day. He's used to going to work every day. How many dogs get to go to work every single day at 6 a.m.?
Not a whole lot.
How many dogs get to go out to every store and every place that a human gets to go? Hell, most people don't do what I do every day.
Yeah.
You know, so he's going to have to be able to get to do some of this stuff after I'm gone.
Yep.
You know, with my health conditions, it could happen overnight. You don't know. So.
Well, yeah, you're never guaranteed tomorrow. And that, you know, that's something I think about a lot, is what's going to happen to Skeeter if I, you know, tried to get up out of bed in the morning and just keeled over, dropped dead. And right. I'm grateful. Like I said, Skeeter loves Nevermore. He's got family. She would probably start working using him because he will work for her. I would hope that she'd kind of take over and he'd become her service dog for whatever time he's got left to work, you know?
Right. So, you know, these are, and a lot of people like to hide from these conversations. I bring them straight up. I don't hide from anything. I have conversations that people are scared of. I've always bring this stuff to the forefront. Whatever in my head comes out my mouth, and it gets me in a lot of trouble.
No filters. Yep. No filters.
But, you know, with the obedience training, yeah, my daughter didn't like to go through a lot of it, but she was with me. Same with Tadsaw. She was with me. There was times that she didn't want to go, but she still went, you know, but Scout listens to her. You know, there's, when I come home every day, she's right there waiting for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Staring contests, you know, they play.
But you know what though? The point being, but the point being that the service dog becomes an integral member of the family, and maybe even more so than a pet, because the service dog does go with you everywhere.
Right.
You know, so it becomes, I mean, and we're kind of dealing with the same thing with Nevermore's teenage son. He and I go do things. We'll go have lunch while she's at work and stuff. And of course, Skeeter's right there. And he learned very quickly that, you know, when Skeeter's working, and that's what Skeeter's doing, is working. And he's very defensive of me and Skeeter. If people are being, you know how people are when they see a dog where a dog doesn't belong.
Yeah.
He knows the same answers I do, I give, and he gets very, he can be very defensive of us when people are insistent, and I kind of have to back him off and say, I got this. It's okay. I got it. Yeah, I'll deal with it. And then I give him the 1,000-yard stare and ask him, you know, if they wanted me to pet their child the way they're trying to get their child to pet my dog or something, you know. But the lucky thing with Nevermore's son is when he met me, Skeeter was already a part of who I am. And he understood and accepted that immediately. Like, okay, cool. This is Joaquin and Skeeter. And that was it. That was the end of the, there was no discussion. It was like, yep, that's who you are. That was a couple of years ago. And so, I think that probably children in general are going to be more accepting if you're contemplating bringing a service dog into your home than your spouse will be.
Right.
And again, that same argument, you love that dog more than you love me. And, you know, at the time when I was having the argument with that ex, I explained, no, I love him differently.
That's what I was just going to say. It's a different kind of love.
Yeah, it's different. How do you explain to a spouse what a battle buddy means?
Right. You know? And you really can't unless you're a vet.
Yeah. Unless the spouse is a vet. Yeah. Yeah. They don't understand that you literally rely on each other for life.
Right.
Yeah. That, you know, that's what they taught us in the service, is that the guy standing next to you is going to save your life one day. Look left, look right. One of you is going to save the other.
Buddy and admin Leatherneck. You've probably heard me and seen me talk about him on the page every once in a while.
Yep, yep.
He's a over-the-road truck driver right now. He's trying to save up money so he can buy a ranch out west somewhere. And recently married. His wife's a vet.
Uh-huh.
He's been running Bailey. He's got a page out there.
Uh-huh.
But she's got a service dog. And both of their dogs riding that rig with them all over the country.
That's awesome.
And those dogs get to see everything with two vets. And I'm sitting there thinking, how cool is this?
Yeah. So, you know, we need to bring him on a future episode of the show, because I've seen it mentioned, and I don't think it was on your page, but I've seen it mentioned, a disabled individual, each with a service dog, trying to do something like go eat or go to a hotel or rent an apartment. Two service dogs? What? Yeah, you know, that's a good conversation. I'd love to bring him and his wife on and have and talk about that.
All right, Leatherneck, if you're listening to this, get ready.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. That's a good truck. Their truck has broke down numerous times, and they've spent weeks in hotels.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. That's a great subject for a future show, absolutely. Because guess what? The law protects each individual
correct
who has a disability. Absolutely, a couple can both be disabled and each have a service dog.
Yep, and yeah. I believe they're both diagnosed. I'm not going to give away their diagnosis. That's not my right.
That's up to them when we get them on the show.
They are both disabled.
Yeah.
And that's up for them to discuss.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that'll be a good conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. That's a good, let me write that down so I don't forget. Cause you know, I forget. So, you know, PTSD brain. Yeah. I'm going to lose this piece of paper, find it in like a month and be like, oh crap. Did we ever talk to them?
Yeah, I'm writing it down too, because if I don't write it down or put it on my phone, I'll forget to call him here in a little bit.
Dude, it's almost like we both are disabled and we're doing
Leatherneck
part of our disabilities. Oh, so let's talk a little bit about just the show and where we're going. There's a couple things I want to make sure that the audience understands. First of all, is that Service Dog Show with PTS Dog or PTS Dog is over, but the Service Dog Show is just starting. This is the first episode of the Service Dog Show.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked when you sent me that message.
Well, I've been thinking about it, and I've been thinking about, because I'm affiliated with multiple different veteran pages about service dogs. And honestly, I didn't want somebody who's a trainer to be a co-host, because then it'd start leading into all about their training. And, you know, the only thing that two trainers can agree on is what the third one's doing wrong.
Correct.
So I really didn't want to, there are a million dog trainer shows out there. We didn't want to do that.
And I didn't want to give you fair warning when you asked me, you know what you're getting into.
I know. Well, you know what you're getting into. We're both vets. We're both grouchy old motherfuckers, you know, but we both also have a passion for helping our fellow veterans.
Absolutely.
And we're both doing what we can to educate. And that's the whole point, folks. We're here to share knowledge. So please, if you want to hear about a subject on the show, tell us. Message to Scav and Scout Chronicles, message PTS Dog, email info@dvradio.mil. If you can't figure out how to get a hold of us any other way, email DV Radio. They'll get it to me.
My God, if you can't contact one of us, there's a definite problem.
Yeah. Please get a hold of us. Message us. If you want to hear something, if you have a story to tell, you reach out. It's part of the master plan bringing you on board, Scav, because you've got reach that I don't have. But at the same time, I have reach that you don't have. So it's mutually beneficial to both of us to increase our audiences.
As much trouble as I get in on Facebook, I've made preparations for that. My wife's an admin, the other next an ad. I've brought enough people on that page doesn't get shut down by me.
Yeah.
All my accounts could get locked down, but there's still access. So there's ways to get a hold of me.
That's good. Yeah. So please, folks, if you're listening out there in podcast land or listening to the broadcast on WDVR, please reach out to us. Let us know what you'd like to hear. It's not just me talking to myself in an echo chamber anymore. Got Scav on board. Guess what? We're going to disagree about stuff. We're going to argue.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's Navy. I'm Army. There's going to be disagreements.
But you know what? We're both grownups. At the end of the day, we can agree that we don't agree. So problem is, we both have pretty similar experiences when it comes to training our service dog.
That's what it comes down to.
It
doesn't matter what we saw, what we did. It comes down to what we're going to do for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Do a little business here. I got to talk about the book. Well, no. First, you talk about your daughter's book.
Oh, yeah. She did write a book.
Yeah.
Thanks to you.
All I did was say, hey, here's how you can publish it.
You caught me off guard because I don't have the link, but I will post it up on the page later on tonight.
We'll get that information out, folks.
Yeah, my daughter did write a book based off of one of her school projects. I believe it was an eighth grade.
Eighth grade, yeah.
So.
And it's called The Real Scav and Scout Chronicles? I have it sitting around here somewhere.
Yeah, The Real Scav and Scout Chronicles, based off of the life living with me.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
It could have gone downhill real fast, but...
Real, real fast. When I saw that, I was like, oh, shit.
Here we go. In Catholic school, no less, right?
Right. I'm waiting on the bottles of vodka and tequila, you know, floating around. But she did a real fantastic job for an eighth grader.
Yep. And I believe you published it on lulu.com.
It is on Lulu.
And we'll provide links, but yes, The Real Scav and Scout Chronicles by Alyssa Kahlo.
And a matter of fact, I'll even give discounts after I find a link and set it back up.
There we go. Discount codes even. Right. Absolutely. That's awesome.
And she runs our Scav and Scout Instagram account because I don't allow her on Facebook. So she has access to Instagram. So she runs that entire page.
Cool. Where else can we find Scav and Scout besides Facebook and Instagram?
That's it for now. Oh, no, I do lie to you. I do have a MeWe account. It's basically just all pictures right now because it's not a real popular place for a lot of things. But
it's
going to change.
Look, folks, people are bailing from Facebook.
And the more hits we get on MeWe, the more I post over there.
Yeah, I'm starting to, you know, I've had the MeWe account for almost a year, and I kind of forgot about it for a little while. But with the recent way that Facebook's been kind of clamping down on veteran pages and calling and saying that calling yourself a veteran is hate speech,
right?
That means, yeah.
I did post the raincoat pictures today, so there is activity over there.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's mostly just pictures, but.
Yep. You know what? We will build a service dog show page. You know, I never did that, and I need to do that. Just a page specifically for the service dog. We'll do it on MeWe, do it on Facebook, so that there's one place where you can message us both or either of us.
Okay.
I'll get on that as soon as I finish the new graphics, because guess what? Like I said, the service dog show with PTS Dog is dead and gone. The service dog show, however, is alive and well. Another change, we're going to do our best to do this weekly. Obviously, holidays and sickness and things like that might interfere. Scav is also a volunteer firefighter. So it could be that he gets a call, you know, on a Tuesday night when we're supposed to record. We will do our best to be weekly rather than biweekly. And again, that comes back to you, the audience. We need you guys to tell us what you want us to talk about. Tell us who we should be interviewing. What do you want to hear? We don't know what's going on unless you tell us. We will be bringing up to, you know, bringing to light, current issues that we're seeing, things going on in the service dog community. We're going to keep moving forward.
We got a big surprise for them coming up.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to this is the first show, and I'm telling you guys right now, our next show is huge, and I am basically throwing Scav under the bus.
Yeah, you're a bastard. Hey, join me and watch me put you over the table here, buddy. Yeah,
Bohica, bro. Yes, our next episode is going to be fantastic. I'm not going to tell you about it because we haven't done the interview yet, and I don't want to jinx it. But this is big, and I'm excited, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a real, real educational time. And entertaining as well. With that, listen, folks, thank you for all the support you've given the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I really hope that from here out, you'll give the same amount of support and more to the Service Dog Show. Scav, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate you picking up the baton, as it were, and coming aboard.
Hey, and let's take care of vets, brother.
That's right. And it's I'm glad to form this partnership. I'm excited about what we will be able to do in the future. You are listening to the Service Dog Show on DV Radio, WDVR. You can tune in to the show Sundays at 8 p.m. on the Live 365 app. Just search for the DV Radio channel. You can also listen to the podcasts after the fact on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you find podcasts. We're distributing it to more and more places every day. So check us out and find us. This has been Service Dog Show with your hosts. I am PTS Dog. This is Scav. You're listening to us on DV Radio, WDVR.
DV Radio.